Well, the theme I want to continue with in this session before lunch is be before you go. And we're going to go back to the book of Proverbs. I'll eventually get to Proverbs 23:12, but I do want to substantiate for you in this session that the fear of the Lord is the predominant theme throughout Proverbs. And since your theme for the year has been to be servants who fear the Lord, here's the text that will tie all of that theme together, and also many of the chapel sessions that you have heard. So part of my preparation was to go to the school YouTube channel and just spot check several of the sermons. The guys who preached a week or two ago from the student body, you guys did an amazing job. I mean, the Lord has definitely gifted you for the work of preaching. And whenever anybody makes an opportunity for you to preach, take that opportunity. You bless this student body, and I was able to watch your sermons through the YouTube channel. But going back all the way to the fall and working our way till now, this has been a theme that every speaker, more or less, has focused on, and it becomes a uniting theme through Proverbs. So let me quickly walk through the majority of those texts in Proverbs that speak to us about the character of fearing God. Starting in Proverbs 1:7, don't turn, I'll read too quickly. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Chapter 3, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Chapter 8, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Chapter 9, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Chapter 10, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." Chapter 14, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." Proverbs 15, verse 16, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Chapter 19, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited by evil." If you just ponder and meditate on the theme of the fear of the Lord through Proverbs, all of the good things that you want in this life, all of the ambitions and desires that you have right now, they're all attainable through serving the Lord in fear, through trusting Him, through believing in Him, through walking in the teachings that He has laid before you. Proverbs lays all of that out for you. And so what does it mean to fear the Lord? It's simply a description in the Old Testament of a godly person. So think of it this way. A God-fearer is humble and overwhelmed by God, yet bound to Him through trust and obedience. To serve the Lord in fear is to be overwhelmed by His presence and to be attracted to Him in trust and obey. Just as many of us grew up singing when we were in, you know, nursery school, when we were in children's church, "Trust and obey, for there's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." So I want to focus again for the second session, like I did the first, like I will tomorrow, on be before you go. Put all these character qualities, summarize them all together. The first one we looked at was be humble. And for this session, I'm going to talk about be disciplined. Be disciplined before you go. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to go to two other themes. The first one tomorrow will be wiser than your years. And the final session Friday night will be a friend. Be a friend. But now we want to put our attention on be disciplined. Be disciplined before you go. Now, I'm not going to give you a lot of lists of, when I say discipline this morning, I'm not necessarily referring to just your habits of life. You know, brush your teeth, get out of bed, make your bed. You know, all these sort of things that you want to do to be disciplined in life. you know, have structure, make sure you plan things, you know, write thank you cards. I could go through this litany of things, you know, be disciplined in your life, exercise, eat right, you know, have good habits, read books, care for other people, you know, show up early. You could think about all these things people can give you about being disciplined. But I think when you go to the book of Proverbs and we're talking about being disciplined, it's not close-handed, here's what I'm going to do for the Lord. Rather, it's going to be an open-handed discipline. I'm willing to receive whatever the Lord brings into my life for discipline. For discipline's sake. And I want you to think about it in those terms of be disciplined by receiving whatever God intends to bring your way. You know, God disciplines like a teacher. More specifically, like a tutor. And there's kind of a difference between a teacher and a tutor. I've discovered that tutors can make a lot of money if you're good at tutoring. If you get a reputation that you can take a kid who's failing in math, geometry, algebra, trigonometry, precalculus, whatever it is, and you can help them get a C to an A, there's some parents out there that will pay per hour a lot of money for you to tutor their son or daughter. Maybe you're in a track for education. Maybe that's something you should put out there on Facebook. Maybe put it on Nextdoor when you go home. Hey, I'm tutoring in this area. If you're like some extra help for your student, you might find you can make some great income that way. I was talking to a friend of mine. She's been teaching for many years, both in Christian school, also in public school. And she has found that she has a network of families that are affluent and want their sons and daughters to be tutored by her. And so after school hours, she's making like $45-$50 an hour doing tutoring. And I think it's amazing to me, first of all, people have money to do that. Second of all, it's amazing to me that they're willing to give that over for the benefit of their son or their daughter in a specific subject. God is your heavenly Father. He loves you very much, and He's going to determine to discipline you in your life to get the most out of who He created you to be. He's going to draw all things to bear on your life so that you learn and you grow and you excel and you glorify Him in all things. You know, think about what school subject you struggle with most. I have no idea how difficult the classes are, but I can refer back to my own Bible college days. And I pretty much was a decent student in grade-wise, but the languages did not come naturally to me. And it made everything else suffer, that the languages were just difficult. I could have used a tutor. It would have been helpful. God disciplines like a tutor in that tutors give one-on-one specialized help for your needs. God knows you better than anybody else. Who better to tutor you? Who better to discipline your spiritual life so that by discipline, God gets out of you all that He intends? So be disciplined before you go. And God's going to do this work by getting personal. And He's going to get deep inside your heart to do this specific work. And God's discipline, according to Proverbs, makes the simple wise. Discipline will bring the growth that God intends for you. It creates maturity, discernment, and wisdom. Discipline is going to stuff a backpack full of experiences to carry along the way. And the reason you'll carry those experiences with you is there'll be moments later in life you'll want to draw on what you learned here or what you learned working a secular job in town or what you learned growing up. Those experiences, as God's bringing you, pull them out, you can review them, you can remember them, and refresh your confidence in God's good intention. So as you go on in life, you'll grow in your discipline because God's brought you through some things. God's let you experience some ups and downs, all for the purpose of greater service, greater opportunity, fulfilling greater ambition that He put inside of you. And sometimes that work of discipline is hard, painful. Like Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastisement," that's the word for discipline, "no discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, Mr. Rowe is saying that I like to run. In maybe a number of years ago, I like to run long distances. And marathon running, I really enjoyed. And I've run 8 marathons. I've done the Marine Corps Marathon. There's one coming up called the Flying Pig. I think it may be this weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a great marathon to run down by the river between Ohio and Kentucky. But you just don't wake up and think, you know, I see that there's going to be a marathon in a couple weeks. I think I might sign up for that. You have to be disciplined to back your way, you know, to a substantial period of time and work your way in a disciplined fashion to achieve that goal. So I have spreadsheets, and I could show you one on my computer where there's a chart, and it's either from 16 or 18 weeks. Here's how I'm going to run. Here's how I'm going to build up my distances. Here are the weekend runs where I'm going to do a long run on Saturday, maybe with a training group. You know, here's how I'm going to track mileage on my shoes. All of these particulars. But you have to get up and actually do every single day the work that you'll actually put in till the ultimate race day. Because I could not go out today and run a marathon. You had to build up to that. And by the time the actual race day comes, probably there's somewhere between 350, 400 miles a good runner's already run before they run the marathon, simply to run that marathon faster than 4 hours. You have to be disciplined to get to that. And that's what God is bringing in our life. Think about 4 hours in a marathon. Think about the 4 years of your life you spend right here. Maybe 5. You know, some of you are super seniors. You've been around here longer than others. 6. Who knows how long? Slow the track down. God is using every experience, every relationship, every sermon, every conversation. He's weaving all of that together to discipline you in your life. And let me challenge you that the harder the discipline feels, the better the work God is wrought in your life. That's why Charles Spurgeon said so famously, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." Knowing that that discipline is creating something good in me. And so I want you to be disciplined before you go. Because if God has disciplined you before the work, you'll be ready for what is to come. The first proverb is Proverbs 23, verse 12. Look at it with me. Proverbs 23, verse 12. "Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ear to the words of knowledge." Here's the first point. Accept God's discipline. Remember I said this is going to be open-handed, not close-handed? I'm not talking about you disciplining yourself. I'm talking about you being open to God disciplining you. Accept God's discipline. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ear. When it says heart, it's referring to touching the affections. And when it refers to the ear, it provokes the mind. We are to apply the heart and the ear to the God-ordained process of discipline. So anger at discipline, if you get angry at, "Lord, why let me do, how do I have to do this? Why is this so hard? Why can't I just have things now? What's patience all about?" That type of anger in your heart distracts your attention from its true purpose. It's in the same line, self-pity distracts both your heart and your ear from discipline. Anxiety distracts the heart and the ear. You must know and trust God as your Father because He is good and loving, that God's discipline in your life is not punishment. It is not punishment. There is no gospel in that view to think that God is bringing all the discipline in your life to punish you for how bad you are. Oh, friends, there's no gospel there. Do you know that if you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Himself took all of the punishment for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He already shed His blood for your sins. Sure, He wants you to put off the old man and put on the new man in its place. But be assured that God's discipline is for your learning, for your growth, for your good. So when He brings discipline into your life, open your hands, open your mind, open your hearts, and receive it. Because when God works you over, He is not trying to repay you for past indiscretions. When He disciplines, God is forming you for a better, wider, broader future. Orlando Sayre, in a book he wrote called Big God, describes this work this way. When life is painful, it is not God punishing us for some particular sin we have committed. Rather, it is God sculpting us into the spiritual work of art He plans to make of us. Suffering is God's way of refining us. It is the rough track along which our destination is Christ-like character. It is the painful regimen our personal trainer takes us through to build up our spiritual muscle. It is the tough love with which our Heavenly Father raises children who are worthy of the family name. And so I want to urge you to accept God's discipline. We too quickly attribute success and blessing and good in life to God, yet we fail to see His good work in difficulty. But that's where the discipline lies. I want to urge you this morning to pause long enough to consider God's intention with some of the things that you're feeling right now. Some of you hear that, what I just read from Orlando Sayre, and you think, man, if discipline is all about God's love, He loves me more than anybody else in the room. He loves me more than anybody else in the dorm. He loves me more than anybody else in my family. Because it seems as if I am constantly being shaped and fashioned by discipline. You're absolutely right. When God brings discipline, it is because He dearly loves you as His child. He is wanting to renew you in His image. And you should feel loved, matured, and saved when God disciplines. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary at His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So accept God's discipline. Number two, forfeit life without discipline. Okay, life has an easy track, and there are going to be options for you to take to make life easy for yourself. And Proverbs, the way of wisdom, the way of fearing the Lord, to be before you go, is to actually forfeit life without discipline. And for that, I want you to go to chapter 15 with me. Proverbs 15, verse 32. Forfeit life without discipline. He that refuseth instruction, this is Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now in that proverb, there's a choice to be made. And you're going to have to make that choice for yourself. We have this concentrated time of 48 hours where we're going all in 8 sessions before graduation, considering what it is to be servants who fear the Lord. But you're going to have to choose either to listen or to ignore, according to Proverbs 15:32. Here again is a simple wisdom statement pointing to the antithetical outcomes of opposite reactions. On the one hand, you have the person who refuseth instruction. On the other, you have the one who hears what? What is he hearing? Reproof. And if he hears reproof, he's getting understanding. So think of it this way. You're either going to listen or you're going to ignore. You're either, out of the response to this proverb, you're going to be the person who, when God is speaking to you from His Word, or He's speaking to you through the discipline in your life, you're going to be the person who leans in, cupping your ear, because you want to, if you're going to have to go through this pain anyway, this discipline's going to happen anyway, you want to get everything that God intends out of it. Every last bit of wisdom, every last thought. I don't want to miss anything. So you lean in and you hear and you receive. But there's a total opposite reaction. completely separate from that. And that's the person, not the person who's leaning into here. That's the person who puts their fingers in their ear like this. Because they want to stop hearing the Lord. They want to stop the pain. They want to run from the discipline. They don't want this to shape them and fashion them. In fact, they look for a life. They look for a path. They look for a way in which discipline is avoided. Pain is optional. Proverbs is urging you, forfeit the life without discipline. Ignoring instruction actually despises your soul. That's what verse 32 says. If you refuse instruction, you despise the very part of you that's eternal. Your body, it's going to die. Your soul lives forever. It separates from the body. The resurrection day, you get a glorified body, gets reunited to the soul. And that soul is what you really are. You despise who you really are if you ignore instruction. To despise oneself means to consider of little or no value. And the outcome of that type of life matches the opinion of the person who lives it. Proverbs 13 says this, poverty and shame shall be to him who refuses instruction. What's the end result for that person? They despise their soul and they end up in poverty and shame. In the Old Testament, since that's where I'm preaching from these days, the Old Testament is a seabed of shipwrecked lives unencumbered by discipline. The people who had it within their means to do whatever they wanted, their lives completely fell apart. Samson and his uncontrolled passions. Esau in his untamed appetite. Jonah in his unyielded will. Because they wouldn't receive the discipline of the Lord, they had tremendous difficulty. You know, friends, we are to forfeit that life without discipline and choose the path of discipline that the Lord lays out for us. In fact, when we look at those Old Testament examples, we're to see something of ourselves and each of them who needed God's saving grace. I want to invite you this morning to be a son or daughter of the living God who is willing to receive all of the discipline He brings in your life. To see every trouble you face, everything that just rubs you the wrong way, everything that becomes hard and arduous and discouraging, to receive it, to walk against the world's headwind. Because the whole world demands autonomy. They want nothing to do with that type of discipline. They only want to discipline themselves for the ways that they control, not the open-handed ways that God determines. Our entire society fights to define and exercise their personal rights. Yet the way of wisdom is pushing in the opposite direction, telling you and me to lean into God, not away from Him. And so think of your own life this morning. By what means or circumstances or methods is God lovingly drawing you close to Him through discipline? He's a tutor. He's not a teacher. It's not God standing here through His Word and saying, I'm going to discipline every one of you in the house the exact same way. No, He's a tutor. So He's picking each one of you in your path, in your discipline, in your way is just a little bit different from the friend sitting next to you, to the one who lives across the hall, to the one who's in the classroom that has seemingly different skill sets and abilities. He loves you enough by tutoring you to discipline you uniquely from everyone else. And in verse 32 of Proverbs 15, when it says to gain, the analogy is of taking it to heart. He who heareth reproof, he getteth, he gains understanding. Now, a coach will often, you know, encourage his team before the game, in the middle of the game, maybe in a timeout close to the end of the game, play with heart. I need you to go out there and we need to want it more than the other team. Well, there's no way of quantifying that. Like, there's no stat for that. You know, you can track rebounds. You can track shots on goal. You can do all those things. But when a coach is urging you, we need more heart, there's no way of measuring it other than inside of you. You know there's something that's there. It's an intangible work. And that's what this receiving of discipline is all about. He that heareth, He getteth understanding. He gains it. He takes it to heart. And it gives to him a confidence to go ahead in a way like nothing else motivates him. John Kitchen, in his commentary on Proverbs, says, "The heart describes the complex from which the thought, emotion, and choices arise. The heart is who you are. Reproofs are a vital part of shaping who we are. We can never be all God wants us to be without remaining open to correction and teachable in spirit." And I say all that to say, forfeit the life without discipline that avoids the discipline of God. So the first thing you need to do is to accept God's discipline. The second thing is to forfeit a life without discipline. And the third one, which is not surprising, is to go in the opposite direction. Embrace life with discipline. With discipline. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Here's what it says. Just a couple pages over from where we were in chapter 15. "Heareth counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Now let me pull that proverb apart for you. The New American Standard Bible translates instruction as discipline. Hear counsel and receive discipline. That's that open-handedness I talked about at the beginning of the sermon. To listen and accept are terms of invitation. You know, listen to advice. In fact, you're here in chapter 19. Look at the next verse. Verse 21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." So you got the counsel of the Lord in the very next verse. So you're actually inviting advice, inviting this very counsel. Accepting is the goal of listening. And discipline is one of the ways that God gets our attention. And you see the last part of verse 20, "in thy latter end." In thy latter end. Do you know what that's referring to? It just simply means into the future. Into the future. Your latter days. Think of this as your retirement you. Your retirement life. Now I'm going to talk about age. I'm going to talk about age tomorrow morning. And talk about how you can be wise beyond your age. But also discuss how Proverbs talks about aging helps us grow in wisdom. But that's for tomorrow morning. Here it's saying you need to understand there is a future you that will benefit if you listen and accept the counsel of the Lord right here, right now, before you go. Be disciplined by the Lord. The truth is, you will run out of opportunities in your life to do good things for the Lord. But you never want to run out of wisdom for those opportunities. You want to have enough wisdom along the way. So listen, learn, grow as you go. It's kind of like having expiring coupons. Like you never want to go into a store and everybody else has a coupon, but you don't, but no one can hand one out. It's wonderful to have too many coupons and you can be the one just handing them out to other people. You know, if someone stood at Kohl's and had extra Kohl's cash, anybody coming in, you know, get some extra. Bless everybody going in the door. It's nice to be in that frame. In the latter days, in verse 20, it's saying, be the person that as you're running out of opportunities at the end of your life to do those things for the Lord to which you aspire, at least have leftover wisdom to give it to those who are still coming behind you. To teach and to give it to them so that we still pursue wisdom even into our old age, because there's a good number of young greenhorns running around who have no clue, but they're willing to listen if they're going to serve in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 12 says, "Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, and he that hateth reproof is brutish." I love when we think about discipline, it's spelled so closely to disciple that they seem very close. In fact, how many of you have written a paper around here and actually written discipline or disciple and got them incorrect writing one versus the other. Because this is how we grow. This is how we develop. This is how we mature. This is how the simple become wise. Because we learn in the early days and we grow in what we learn. We learn and then we use what God has given to us to learn. So I want to encourage you this morning to open your hands, open your heart, open your mind, and allow God to discipline you. Be disciplined before you go. The artist Michelangelo, he began sculpting a block of marble when he was 26 years old. So he's not quite as young as some of you, but you'll be 26 soon. But he was young in terms of his artistry, and the slab he started with was actually a discarded remnant. Donatello had started, then stopped forming it because he didn't like the imperfections in the marble, so he started on another project. But Michelangelo, as a younger guy, started with that remnant, and for 2 years, he hammered and chiseled away day after day with a chisel and a mallet, and finally, in 1504, he is finished with the sculpture of David, which is unveiled. Almost 17 feet tall, over 6 tons. For over 500 years, people have gone to Florence, Italy, and marveled at his craftsmanship and his work, and looked at all that he did. But he had to go through the discipline of day after day for 2 solid years, blow after blow, going after his work, one shape, one mold, one refashioning at a time, till finally the work was done. That's how God is disciplining you and me. Blow by blow, chisel by chisel, mark by mark, etch by etch, over a long period of time, He is shaping us into a likeness that will bring Him amazing honor and glory in this world. I just want you to sing Jesus Loves Me to the cadence of His hammer and receive every blow of His discipline. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that You would let us see in our lives how discipline is shaping us and molding us into what You would have us to be. And I know students who are weary after a semester of work, who are a little bit just ready to move on and somewhat ready to see You do work. I pray that they would open their hearts, open their hands, that they would be disciplined by a loving Heavenly Father, and that they would be disciplined before they go. Father, You are the master craftsman. You are the one who brings all good things to a conclusion that gives You glory and honor in our lives. Lord, keep doing that work. Keep molding and shaping us. Never let us go, so that, Father, You would maximize out of our lives everything that You intend for Your glory. I pray this for the students. I pray that for the faculty, for the administration, for the staff. I pray for my own soul, Lord, that You would continue to do this good work of discipline. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.